Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers, food lovers, and everyone in between. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 2. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 2 of the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. So delighted you're here. And it's an amazing episode today, if I may say so myself, because I'm interviewing my little sister. And those of you who follow me on Instagram may remember that I was due to interview her for my live show back in March. And we had this major technical fail, so the interview never happened. And she's so inspirational. She's doing amazing, magical things in the vegan food scene. The podcast was a great way to introduce you to her without any technical issues for her to tell her story. My sister and I have had our ups and downs in our relationship, as most siblings listening to this will know, but we're super close and I'm so, so proud of her and so excited to share this with you, this episode. So without further ado, here she is. Hey there. Welcome to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. So listen, I totally know who you are, but for people tuning in, can you introduce yourself, please?
Well, my name is Sumaira. I'm an artist and a donut baker, and I'm the owner of Delish Vegan Donuts in Madrid.
Cool. Well, actually, you're also my sister, so let's just
put it out there. I wasn't sure if you wanted to share that info.
let's just put our cards on the table.
And, yeah.
But the other thing that you are, and I really kind of wanted to start with that, is you have very kindly contributed your song, I See You, to the podcast. It's the theme song of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you for choosing my song.
I mean, for me, there was never, ever going to be another song for the podcast because, first of all, I've always loved your song. But also, I think, you know, the I See You, you'll always be the nicest thing that I've got. I just really wanted my audience to hear that because, you know, what is a podcast without an audience? What is a food blogger without readers? So, you know, it was from me to them, but I know that the song has a deeper meaning. Can you talk a little bit about how you wrote the song and how you came up with it?
Well, I wrote the song a couple of years ago, and it was actually, it was about my father at the time because he was going through something, and I felt he wasn't doing too well, and I kind of felt that he was at his worst and maybe didn't see that we were there for him and that we, you know, could see through all that darkness that he was going through at the time.
Nice.
So I just sang this one little sound, which actually is now a tweaked sound in the song. And that was the base of the entire song. Like, I just recorded that and then I just started singing and writing on top of it. And the song I See You is actually something that I wrote in 10 minutes. Like, it came out super, super, super quickly.
I sometimes feel that that's always kind of the best way, you know, when you don't overthink things, even like for, you know, food photography or recipe development, and, you know, when it just comes out and you don't set kind of boundaries around it. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I mean, the thing is that hasn't happened to me very often. Mm-hmm. So when it happened with I See You, usually when I write a song, I'll be really honest. I do. It's personal. It's emotional. It's in the moment. But then I think about it a lot and I tweak it and it has to be this and let's make it that. And then it becomes more of a process. And with I See You, it really just was a feeling. And that's why it was so quick. Like, even after 3 minutes, I started having like a bellyache every time I was just hearing that sound and coming out with a melody. And it just became, it was a beautiful, it was one of my most precious moments, actually.
Oh, cool. Well,
within music and creation.
I think it's a perfect theme song for the Eat Capture Share. So thank you so much. No. Well, listen, how did you make the transition from singing beautiful songs, writing beautiful songs, to now having a vegan donut place? Like, how did that transition come about? How did you, you know, start donuts?
It's, well, you know, when you're an artist, you're, or you're Beyonce and you're incredibly rich and successful, or you're poor. And I think 80% of artists and creative people struggle to make a living. And I was one of them, even though I'm very, very proud of my career, but I, you know, I couldn't really live off it. And the, all the years that I've been making music, I've been always, you know, doing things on the side. And I've, my mother has, our mother owns a catering business. I've always worked with her in the catering and, you know, done things in food and
food's in our veins, basically.
Yeah, it's it's part of us. It's in our blood. And one day I just started figuring vegan donuts out because I was curious about it, and I liked the result. And then I thought, hey, maybe I can just put it online, and maybe some people want to order donuts for vegan donuts for a vegan birthday party, or maybe someone wants them for a wedding. And so it was more like trying to make ends meet and seeing if, you know, other people were interested in this discovery that I had just made, which were vegan donuts. And I was very proud at that moment of my results. And then the transition from music to donuts was kind of made for me, because the minute I put them online, there was no turning back. Like the day I hit the web with my little flyer that said the best vegan donuts of Madrid, there was no
modest.
Yes. But I thought, let's wing it. Let's, you know, fake it till you make it. But it was more, I didn't really, it was so innocent, because I really just thought, let's see if some people react and let's see where, you know, what happens. And it just went so fast. Like the next day I had my my first order. Wow. And that's really, yeah, that's kind of how the transition happened. Like it wasn't as conscious as, yeah.
And what do you think it is about, you know, the concept of vegan donuts that kind of took off? Like, what do you think was the success, you know, the starting point of the success? Because obviously after people taste it, et cetera, but the, you know, there are lots of people who want to launch a product and they do so online, and, you know, it's months before someone even finds their website and orders. And so how did, what do you think it was about your product that was kind of?
I think it was a combination of three things. First of all, obviously vegan donuts, that doesn't exist in Spain, or it didn't exist before I started Delish Vegan Donuts. So that, I think, would be the first thing. So there was this vegan community here in Madrid that, I don't know if they have like vegan, like on Google alerts or something, that the minute when some new vegan product comes up, they're there and they want to try it and they want to taste it. So I think that was the first thing, that there were no vegan donuts and people were curious. The second thing, Spanish people, and this I didn't know, really love donuts. Like really, it's crazy. Like there's this big non-vegan, you know, industrial company that has existed for decades and decades. I think even, I don't know, really long time. And they're, you know, it's like people, kids take donuts to school to have, you know, in their break. And that was a big factor, which I didn't even know. And the third factor, which only was just something I realized later on, is that people also really, really appreciate the fact that it's an artisan product. And that, so the vegan, the fact that it's a vegan donut is, let's say, a selling point, but the fact that it's artisan is just as big a selling point. Like they're equally important. And I think those two things really made it pop. Because, yeah, like our it's not only the vegan community that has kind of tagged on to our donuts. It's also, I think it's 50%, I'd say, are non-vegans, who just really, really appreciate a handmade, homemade donut, so to say.
But
So thank you for sharing that. I'm just thinking about what you're saying, because I think there's so many people who'd love to have a, you know, food-based business, a food-based company. And it's kind of as though everything's already out there, everything's already made. But from what you're saying, it's almost like if your product is artisanal or a cut above the rest or a little bit more special, then it's a whole other market, and it's an open market, if you were. And it's almost like you tapped into that.
Yeah. I'm the only one doing that right now. Mm-hmm. For donuts. So I think if I'd open a vegan pastry shop, like vegan cakes, I don't think it would have the same effect. Mm-hmm. The vegan community would be excited about it, but you can get, like, if you're a non-vegan, you can get amazing cakes, like, around the corner. Like, there are so many pastry stores that do amazing things. So yeah, I do think it helped me, and it was a lucky shot, kind of, that I took this niche thing.
Yeah,
that just isn't there yet, or hasn't been there yet.
And then obviously, you know, we know now, looking back, that from your kind of Etsy store online, you eventually made the transition to actually opening a cafe. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that happen?
That happened because we were getting so many orders. And I was delivering, like, people would order the donuts and I would bring them to their house, to their homes. Like, I would do door to door delivery. But the thing is, I don't even own a driver's license. So I would constantly have to ask my parents or whoever was available if they could please drive me today and tomorrow and after tomorrow. And it just came to a point where I realized, okay, this is not realistic. Like, what I'm doing is so, first of all, so amateuristic, and the demand is so high. I can't even, you know, I'm not getting behind of what people. Yeah. So it was, or I'll stop the donuts because it's just way beyond any expectation, or let's just take it to the next level. Like, I had to take that decision so fast because I was not meeting the demand. And then I thought, you know what? I was enjoying it so much. Like, every time I deliver a box, you know, a door would open and I would give a person their box of donuts. It was such a positive feeling. Mm-hmm. I was given so much positivity. I felt I was able to give, you know, a little bit of love to people as well. Like, it was just so beautiful that I thought, no, let's take it to the next level and let's see where it can go, because it's just lovely.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, a lot of people dream of opening a cafe, a restaurant, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Is it what you expected? Is it the dream, or is there, you know, well, tell us what it's like to actually run a donut cafe.
First, I want to say that I was lucky that making music, I've always worked in cafes and, like, bars and things like that. Like, that's the way I paid my rent. So I knew that it wasn't a romantic way of life. Like, mm-hmm. I knew that it wasn't that. And it really isn't. It is so much work.
Yeah.
What I did not know is how much work it actually was. So on top of waking up at 4 a.m. to make the donuts.
Yeah.
You have to run a cafe. In the beginning, I literally, with my brother, like, me and our brother, we stood, like, I'd bake the donuts and then I'd stand all day in the cafe selling donuts, serving coffee. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. As lovely as every person that enters the store is, it's physically draining.
Yeah.
Then you have to think of, you know, all the administrative things, and what do we need? Do we have enough stock of this? Do I have all the products I need to make the donuts? Are the donuts coming out right? Then after a while, I started employing people in my store because I just humanly was not able to stand in the store anymore because it was just too much. Then you deal with employee, you know, like, managing employees and making sure everybody's doing their job right, everybody's happy. Like, it's a full-time, like, not full-time 9 to 5. I'd say it's full-time. If you're not sleeping, you're pretty much working.
Yeah.
You have to be a social media manager. You're answering emails, your phone calls. Like, it's a lot.
So really, what keeps you going? I mean, it sounds full on, because it is full on.
It is.
What keeps you going? What makes it worth all that work?
On the one hand, it's so, how do I say this? Like, it's so rewarding. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I've struggled. No, maybe struggled is not the right word, but I've worked, like, I've been creative in music for so long, but I have never had the results that you would maybe want to have, no, as a career. Mm-hmm. So it's so rewarding to do something which is creative as well. Like, mm-hmm. every week I think of new tastes and new looks, and how can we make the donuts cuter and this and that. So it's creative. Oh my God, my dog. Okay. I'm so sorry.
Wanda. Everybody.
I'm so sorry.
To Wanda. Sorry to be interrupting your podcast experience, but I just wanted to let you know about my free Instagram food photography challenge. You can join for free by heading to theLittlePlantation.co.uk/Instagram-photography-challenge. By signing up and pre-registering, you can take part in the challenge. You get free Instagram photography tips, styling tips, and become part of my creative community. I'd love for you to join. Now back to the podcast.
No, I think she's fine.
All right, let's do this.
Sorry. She's a lovely dog, by the way.
Of course.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, so it's such a positive, like, for the first time in such a long time, I feel like something I create is actually showing results, mm-hmm. results in the fact that people are receiving it and people are loving it. And yeah. there's this back and forth and this connection, which I never felt before. So that would be the first thing that motivates me every day, because mm-hmm. I really feel like I'm making something people love and people enjoy, and that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I am learning so much. Mm-hmm. And I do think I like the hustle. I like to feel like I'm growing and I'm becoming a better version of myself. And mm-hmm. and I feel that with Delish. I have to, you know, tap in so many waters I've never tapped into before, that I really have to, I'm hitting my limits every single time. Mm-hmm. And then I get beyond them. Yeah, I just had a team meeting and I, you know, had to encourage them to be better. You know, like, so many things I never saw myself doing. So I love that motivates me as well.
So for anyone listening to the podcast who wants to open a cafe or a restaurant or, you know, a stall at a food market, do you have one piece of advice that you can share?
My piece of advice would be to just go for it, mm-hmm. to not be afraid or think about things too much, just to find a way to give it a shot that is financially non-invasive. Mm-hmm. So for me, putting it on online before even opening a store or anything was a way to figure, you know, unconsciously, let's be honest, I wasn't so conscious about it, mm-hmm. but now looking back, it was a way to figure out, are people even interested in the product? Is there a demand? Is there a market? Mm-hmm. And I kind of did that market study by already offering my product without having to make a major investment. I just went for it. I just tried. I didn't. And if I'd fail, fine. You know, I didn't. It wasn't a big issue. I didn't mind. And I think that would be my advice. Just try. And I feel that way about almost anything in life.
And can I ask, as you said, a word that I think is really key, and sort of, you know, how do you overcome your fear of, you know, trying and going for it? Because usually that's what stops people. It's not necessarily that they don't have a good idea or that they're not passionate about it, but it's often fear that gets in the way of not just opening a restaurant or cafe, but even starting a blog or starting an Instagram account or whatever it is. Like, how did you overcome your fear? Perhaps not necessarily in terms of your Etsy, but, you know, the fear of the financial,
just trying,
of the cafe, everything. Like, how did you do that?
I'm not sure if I'm the right person to ask that question, because to be honest, I'm just like that. I've always been like that. Like, I just do it. Mm-hmm. I just go. I just try. I move from one city to the next, from one day, and I'll figure it out. I've always had that thing that I say, I'll figure it out. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Like it will be fine. I'm obviously lucky. I think, yeah, if everything goes wrong, I have a family, Kimberly. I can always come and live with you in London. Like, don't no. figure
I don't know, but I so.
But I think that fear is something that so many of us, like so many people, have instilled in them, and I don't really know where that comes from, because I have that conversation with friends many times that they, for example, one friend wants to start a blog. Like, we've been talking about this for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to start a blog. I want to do this, but, and all the buts, but what if, yeah. but what if, well, it doesn't matter. Like, if nobody reads your blog, you just shut it down. Like,
yes,
that's the worst that can happen. And you might be sad for a day, but then you'll find something else you like.
Yeah.
I think the fear of failure, I think that is our biggest enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And just have to not care.
Now, what is the best thing that's come out of Delish Vegan Donuts for you? Like, is there one moment that you can share with us that was, you know, really special and really memorable?
For me, yeah, the moment that was most memorable for me was, which might sound cheesy, but it was a girl who was allergic. And I don't remember if it was to eggs or to protein, like animal protein in general, but she had never tried donuts. And her father was telling us the story, how she was always she felt kind of left out because all of her friends always had donuts in school and had all these kind of things, and she could never eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought her to the store one day, and seeing that girl's, the little girl, and I think she was 8, seeing her face and her eyes light up when she saw our counter of donuts, knowing that she could actually eat every single one of them. I could see, I don't know, I was like this thing, I could see her emotion and her excitement, and she, I don't know, I think that was really the most beautiful moment. And that was also a moment where I realized, wow, it's like, for some, like, it's bigger than just, you know, yeah, the donuts are awesome. Like, for some people, this is really a moment and a thing. And I felt so honored to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, to be able to be a part of it and to be able to give her that donut. And, you know, I don't know, it was a beautiful moment. Even that her dad was like tearing up, and it was like,
oh,
a whole thing.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But I think for them, really, for someone who is allergic and especially a child, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's tough. So I'd say that was the most beautiful moment. If I can add another second thing, which is a more general thing, through Delish, I have come out of my shell, mm-hmm. and have met a lot of amazing people, who I kind of consider friends by now. And mm-hmm. that also is really beautiful. Like, people that come to the store every single day to say hi, people that work with me, like, it's, mm-hmm. it's really become a family. And that is so beautiful, because making music, you do that. I do it on my own most of the time.
Yeah.
So it's such an isolated existence that this has become so, yeah, like a big, warm, fluffy family with lots of sugar.
That's it. That's the whole thing about food. It kind of brings you together. You know, that's what I love about it. That's really what I love about it. I always say that's really ultimately been kind of the backbone of why I started my food blog. It's kind of, it's this common language, right? It's this common
language
that pulls us together. Listen, I'm super proud of you. I've told you 100 times, but let's put
Thank
it
you.
Out on the air. Super proud of my little sis. So congratulations on all your success and all the radio interviews you've done and whatever Vogue and all the rest of it. So well deserved. So congratulations. Before I let you go, the podcast is called Eat, Capture, Share.
Yes.
And I'd love to know, what is your favorite thing to eat?
my favorite thing to eat right now.
Mm-hmm.
I love to start, and it's super simple, but I love to start my day with this Spanish thing called pan tumaca, which is
love
just
it.
Bread roasted. Like, it has to be crunchy.
I know.
Put some, hey, how'd you say ajo? Garlic. You have to put some garlic on it.
Yes.
Grated tomato and Spanish good quality olive oil. Oh my God. And I do my extra touch of a little bit of oregano, and it's
nice.
Really good.
Delicious.
It's really good. I'd say right now that's my favorite thing.
I love it.
Yes. I love vegan sushi.
Mm-hmm.
I love that as well. So it'd be a tie between those two.
Cool. And what about capture? Is there something that you love to capture?
I mean, I like for Instagram, I like capturing the ambiance that's in the store, like the people and everything. But it's hard for me because really, honestly, I'm not big on capturing.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like taking pictures. I don't like taking pictures of myself. I don't like capturing. So maybe I just like to capture in my mind.
Yeah. So kind of being in the moment and just enjoying.
Yeah. I like to capture the moment. Yeah.
Totally. Totally get it. And then finally, what's your favorite thing to share? Like, when you hear the word share, what does it make you think of?
Love.
Aww. Nice. Awesome yeah. answers. Thank you so, so much. Now, where can people find you?
People can find me and our donuts on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
They can follow us at Delish Vegan Donuts. Donuts written the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
We're on Facebook as Delish Vegan, and we have our own website called delishvegan.com.
Fantastic. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put all those links in the show notes. Mm-hmm. So that when people are in Madrid and they want to try the best donuts ever, frankly, they can
ever.
Find them. Totally. I'm really, honestly.
I'm joking.
No, but the passion fruit, best donut I've ever had in my life.
Oh, little side note. The passion fruit evolved because of your husband's input.
There you go.
There
family
you go.
Totally. It's all in the family.
He was like, yo, sister-in-law, I'm going to give you some pointers here. I think your passion fruit needs a little bit more of acidity. I'm like, really? Next day, I nailed it. So
nice.
Thank you. Nice. Thank you.
Thank you so, so much for your time. And
I love you.
I love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Before I leave you, firstly, I just wanted to say thank you so, so much for tuning in and listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I'd also like to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my free creative community, the Food Photo Insta Creative Community on Facebook, and I would love for you to join. I will pop the notes of how you can join my creative community down in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it would mean so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. And yeah, you'd kind of make my day. All right. See you soon. Take care. Bye.